And I want you to turn to the Psalms. We're going to go to the very first Psalm. So go right to the beginning, Psalm 1. Now, we started a new series last week. I know we got a lot of good feedback about it. We had an introduction to the book of Psalms. And I wanted to make mention, we do have what we call our rack cards, and they are out in the lobby. So if you didn't get one coming in, please get one going out. They're right on the table there with all of our other brochures and things. And it's good to have and put it in your Bible because it kind of gives us an overview of what's going on and where we're going. It groups the Psalms. 150 Psalms is a lot, but there's a grouping to them. There's order to it all. And it's going to be a real helpful guide for us as we go through. But let's open up to Psalm number 1, Tehillim. These are the Tehillim of the Lord. And this one is, the Psalms overall, and this Psalm also, they're collections of songs, okay? They were meant to be sung. We believe, as I mentioned last week, Jewish historians believe that in the first temple, not even the second temple, in the first temple, when the priests would offer the sacrifices, they would sing at the times of the sacrifices, the Shema and the Psalms. So these are ancient. They were codified or put down, canonized, whatever you will, probably around 400 or 500 BCE, probably at the time of Ezra and the men of the Great Assembly. So they're ancient. They're before Yeshua. But they're more than just a collection of psalms that were sung. As I mentioned last week, the psalms are really like a soundtrack to our lives because every single emotion that you and I could have, every single situation we can find ourselves in is really found in the Psalms. And I know a lot of you know that because we tend to go to the Psalms when we're happy and we want to rejoice and we need something in the Bible that talks about rejoicing in the Lord or the greatness of God. But we also go and we pull out the Psalms when we want to lament and when we want to cry out to God. And there's all of those things and more found in the Psalms. It speaks to every situation, and it speaks to us as Scripture. And all of it we can use to grow in the Lord, just like all other parts of the Bible. So, we come to Psalm 1 today. These are one of the introductory Psalms. It's really easy to read this if you just kind of read through the Psalms, and you kind of just take a glance at it. It's easy to read it as what I would call a legalistic work. And legalistic is kind of a bad thing, right? Gets a bad rap. And the legalistic part of it goes something like this. If you do good, you will receive good, right? And it's easy to read this psalm also as a prosperity psalm. If you do these things, you're going to be blessed in your life. So you could read it legalistically. You could read it as a prosperity thing. And it's easy to read this psalm as irrelevant to our lives, right? It's easy to read it as irrelevant to our lives because you say something to the effect of, quote, I'm a good person, I really try hard in my life, and all I get is problems. All I have is suras. All I have is the opposite of what Psalm number 1 says. I don't feel blessed. I don't feel like everything is going great in my life. But when you look at the psalm, this psalm, or the psalms that way, you get a wrong picture. Because when you look at it that way, whether it's legalistically or in any other negative way, I would say, you look at it through worldly eyes. And we have to look at the psalms through spiritual eyes. We have to look at it in light of the context of what God is doing throughout all of Scripture. There are spiritual benefits of following God. That's what Psalm 1 is talking about. And there is a clear contrast in Psalm 1 between two ways to walk out your life and my life. There's the way of the righteous, one who follows God in his ways, and then there's the way, of course, of the wicked who does not. So this juxtaposition is there between the righteous being blessed, talking about spiritually, inner peace, and the wicked perishing. In fact, the first word of the psalm is blessed. Blessed. It can also be translated as happy. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And the last word of the psalm, as kind of a juxtaposition, is perish, which is obviously not a good thing. So there's a contrast here. There is no middle ground. And this is what we have to understand. Ultimately, spiritually speaking, with the Lord, there's no middle ground. There's to do well and to follow God, and then there's to go in the opposite direction. We're going to be getting into that and talking about it. So may this study today encourage us, even convict us, to live the righteous way, to live the righteous life. Let's begin. Psalm number 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law, the Torah, the instruction of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So this is the righteous person. I want you to notice the actions of the righteous person in these first couple of verses. There's walking, there's standing, there's sitting. So he walks, he stands, he sits. All circumstances of life, you could be going in your life and doing something one way and doing it another way, but in all circumstances, however you find yourself, in all situations, there's a behavior that you and I can exhibit, and that is a godly way to live, no matter what we're doing. And this is very reminiscent of other scripture. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We all know this scripture. We chant it every single week at the synagogue. We have it on our hearts and our minds. As I mentioned, it was said in the first temple, and that is the Shema. So if you go to Deuteronomy 6, 4, we're going to read 4 through 7 here. Listen to these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you arise. So there we have it again. In all situations that you find yourself in your life, you are to acknowledge God. You're to bless God. You know, the Shema is our statement of faith as a people, as a believing remnant here. It's our acknowledgement of God. It's our statement of faith in God. It's a chant we say every week, and it should be on our lips and our hearts and our minds throughout our travels, whether we're lying down, rising up, sitting, standing, going, doing, whatever. We should always be trusting God. We should always be living for God all the time. Now, something else to note here about Psalm 1. The very first word of the psalm I mentioned is blessed. The word is actually, in the Hebrew, it's a variant of one of the songs that we sang, one of the pieces of liturgy called Ashrei, which is from Psalm 145, by the way, the piece of liturgy, Ashrei, that we sang or that we chanted. And the word, the wording in the Hebrew is a variant of the word Ashrei. And Ashrei means happy. So you could translate this first word in the first psalm as blessed, but you could also translate it as happy. If you trust in God and live as a good person, though, are you always going to be happy? Well, not always. In fact, like I said, the psalm can be written as this type of prosperity concept, but that's not the context. That's not the intent. The psalm doesn't describe the good life you'll have. You'll be, you know, happy like the world says happy, but what it describes is an inner joy rather than an outer happiness. There's an inner joy that you and I can find, and that doesn't translate with outer prosperity or financial freedom or whatever. All those things are of the world, but the internal is of our God. And that internal joy as followers of the Lord, as followers of Yeshua, we know that only God, only following God, only being righteous or one who goes after God can experience that true joy. Turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, you may abound in hope. All of that's internal. All of that should be pure, should be joyful, no matter what your circumstances are going on, that are going on around you or outwardly. Inwardly, we can have all joy. We could be filled with all hope in the Lord. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. In fact, as a follower of God, as a follower of Yeshua, Many times we find ourselves having even more problems, don't we? We find ourselves going counter to the ways of the world, the systems of this world, and it can be painful, and it can hurt, and it's not easy. But again, what we're talking about here is that inner peace, that inner joy that the world can't give us and that the world can't take away. It only comes with God. That's point number one in our message today. True peace and joy is found only in God. And that's really the message here of Psalm 1. Now let's continue on. We'll go to verse 3 of the Psalm. Talking about the righteous person still. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So there's some, you know, the Bible always has these metaphors that are throughout. And there's a bunch of metaphors here that we need to talk about. In no particular order here, there's three metaphors. Number one, the first metaphor is, in this verse, is the concept of water. Now, water is throughout the Bible, both physically and talked about spiritually. And water is a metaphor for life. Life, not death, life. You know, when you're in a desert and you're looking to sustain you, you're parched, you need to drink something to live. And you see this mirage, right, of water. You see water because that's the life giver. And you go to it, and if you're in the desert, it's just sand. But, you know, when you find that water, those streams, as it says in the Bible, in the midst of the desert, that's truly life-giving. Well, spiritually speaking, that life that you and I can have, we can find that in Yeshua the Messiah. Now, Yeshua is described as living waters. Let's turn to John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. The backdrop of this text here in John 4 is that Yeshua is at this well, right? And he sees this Samaritan woman, and he's talking to her about the concept of Mashiach, talking about the one who was to come. And it's with the backdrop and the metaphor of water. And Yeshua said to her, John 14:13, everyone who drinks of this water, he's pointing to the well there, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So the Lord, Yeshua, is the water here. Now, that's metaphor number one. Second metaphor we're going to talk about is the idea of the tree or trees. This is also throughout the Bible. There are many scriptures that characterize people like you and I as trees. So God is the water. We are the trees. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to read the first three verses. Now, this text here is a very messianic text, Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3. But I want you to wait till the end because there is a very interesting metaphor here of being a tree. Isaiah 61, 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. All that good stuff in those first 2.5 verses, we get to verse 3, that we may be planted as oaks of righteousness. As I said, this is a very messianic scripture, talking about the Mashiach, and certainly talking about Yeshua, and talking about us. We're trees that are planted. Now I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah, another prophetic book in the Tanakh, Jeremiah chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. I want you to notice when I read these verses, the similarities to Psalm number 1. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. What a beautiful illustration and a metaphor here that kind of brings it all together. One of the books that I'm consulting, I have many books that I'm going through with the Psalm series. You'd be amazed at how many books are on the Psalms, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. And so one of the books I'm consulting had a quote, and the quote was, "The righteous, quote, have a place to be grounded, to take root, to be nourished, and to grow. As trees planted by the stream of God, when we are the righteous, right, we're close to God, we're moving towards God," as Harvey said in his drash, we're aiming towards that mark of God. And so when we do that, we're grounded, we take root, we're nourished, and we grow. Those should be the things that are happening to you and I in the Lord as we are pursuing God. That we're called followers of Yeshua. We're following after our ultimate rabbi, Yeshua. So we talked about trees, which is us. We talked about the water for those trees, which is the Lord. And now we come to the third metaphor in Psalm number 1, which is the fruit that the trees will bear. Now, I want you to go, there's a lot of scriptures on this as well. I want you to go to Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Yeshua talks a lot about this in the Gospels. Verse 43, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So you could see it all kind of working together in us. It should be coming down deep in us and coming out of us, and that fruit should be born, and it should be good fruit, the result of righteous living. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's go there. Another letter from Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what the psalm is teaching us. This is what all of scripture is teaching us, is get rooted, take root right by that water of the Lord, be nourished, grow in the Lord, and produce fruit. It's not enough to just sit there and grow. A lot of believers are just so content to just sit back and say, "Woo, thank you, God, I'm enjoying this." You're kind of like a spectator, right? You're taking it all in. Well, there comes a time when we have to give it back out, and God asks us to give as well. And this is where we bear fruit. We bear fruit in various ways. We bear fruit with the love that we share with others. You know, love God with all your heart, but love your neighbor as yourself. We bear fruit with the talents that God has given us, like the musicians that are here, like the people that are working in the AV booth, like the people that greeted you when you came in. This is how we can bear fruit for God. There's so many different ways. And of course, I'm not going to quote it because it's always quoted, but that scripture, you know that scripture about bearing fruit or the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, you can read that some other time. But that is filled with all of the ways that we should be as righteous livers, bearing fruit, planted as oaks of righteousness next to the stream of God, the water of God. A righteous person lives a godly life and bears good fruit and grows in the Lord. Things can be falling apart around you. All the other trees around you can be rotten, can be falling over. The fruit that's coming off of it is just so rotten and so bad. But if you are planted by the Lord, you will grow. You will be healthy. You will be rooted. You'll get nourished, and you will grow in the Lord. And guess what? Nothing can uproot you if you have the Lord with you. Point number 2, we are secure in God no matter our circumstances. It's not about the external. It's about the internal. circumstances are external or outward, the joy that we can have found only in God, and we have that security in God no matter what's going on. Doesn't mean, again, that you and I are going to be free from sickness, illness, disease. That's a worldly perspective to think we're going to get rid of that the moment we just say yes to God as a righteous liver. We're not in heaven yet. One day, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more pain, disease, or death. But right now, we're living in this world, not the world to come. Now, let's go back to the Psalms text one more time and finish Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1, verses 4 through 6. Now we go to the other side here. The wicked are not so. So all that stuff we just talked about, the wicked are not like that. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So now we come to the other side here. The wicked are those that don't follow God, that choose to follow their own way, that follow, look at, you know, they're pointing to another mark, whatever that is, whether it's self or another person or another God, quote unquote, and it's not the Lord. They reject good and instead pursue evil. I mentioned last week in the introduction to Psalms that you have to read the Psalms as what it is, which is also Hebrew poetry. Now, the poetry you and I are used to is that nice sounding to our ear, our American Western ears, poetry, where there's always rhyme, right? Don't you love it when things rhyme? Isn't it like so like weird in our ears when, you know, people try to rhyme things and like they just totally like mistranslate and it just doesn't work, right? And it's like it rings in our ears wrong because we're used to rhyme, but Hebrew poetry doesn't rhyme. Hebrew poetry has repetition, has parallelism. We have to think in an Eastern mentality, not in a Western mentality. So there is parallelism in Psalm 1. There's a repetitive pattern, actually. If you look at the entire six verses of Psalm 1, what you see is an overarching repetitive pattern of this Hebrew poetry. And the pattern is this: the wicked, the righteous, the wicked. If you don't trust me, go read it later again. The wicked, the righteous, the righteous, the wicked. Why is that? Everything is for a reason. There's always an order. And there was a reason that this psalm was laid out this way. Because the wicked are on the periphery, right? They're right on the ends. The righteous are in the center. And that means they are preeminent. That means they are at the center of God's attention. They are at the center of God's care. They are at the center of nourishment and growth from the Lord. But if you separate from God, you're on the outskirts. You cannot have the nourishment because you're far away from the center. So this is the pattern here. Wicked, righteous, righteous, wicked. The righteous are in the center of God's attention and his blessing, and there is life with God. Now, we deceive ourselves as a human race thinking that there is any life apart from God. Man chooses all his days to go and look for life in all different ways and in different people and different things. Now, I saw something the other day. I thought it was really, really cool. Happened to be on some social media. And it went like this. When God wanted to create fish, God spoke to the sea. When God wanted to create trees, God spoke to the earth. When God wanted to create us, God spoke to himself. Understand? Okay. So when you take a fish out of the sea, what happens to the fish? They die. Did you ever have a goldfish when you were a kid? Did you ever take your goldfish out or not forget to, you know, put the water in the goldfish container? Whatever. I killed so many goldfish probably when I was a kid. So when you take a fish out of water, which is the natural habitat for it, that God created for it, it dies. When you take trees out of the soil, what happens to trees? They die, right? This is simple. You chop down the trees, you know, and they die. When you become disconnected from God, what happens? As humans, we die. So that's a really cool analogy, I thought. The Bible is filled with the idea that God wants us to come to him to have life. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's go back to the Torah for a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. God regularly gives us the choice to have life and be in the center of his attention and be righteous, or to choose to walk away from God and be on the periphery and be wicked, and ultimately there is death with that. This is not a new concept. If we look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, we see God speaking. Hashem is speaking to the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, as they are about to go into their new life in the promised land. And what does he say? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are driven away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. Ooh, there's that word again. Perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. Life and goodness with God as righteous in the center of God's attention. Death and perishing, right? To perish outside of God. Psalm 1 tells us what will happen to the wicked. They are like the chaff that are blown away. They perish. They're not grounded like the righteous. Because apart from God, we will perish. And that's point number 3, our last point. Apart from God, there is spiritual and physical death. Ultimately, our bodies die. Our bodies decay. We have X number of years and breaths in this world. And then we physically die. But there's also a spiritual death too. And we have to be careful to walk in the way of the righteous. So there's this choice we're given right at the beginning of the Psalms. It's interesting that this is the first Psalm. Now, as I mentioned last week, you know, the Psalms are 5 books. And the 5 books of the Psalms correspond to the 5 books of Torah. This is what the rabbis and the sages have said. And they also say that Psalm number 1, it's no coincidence that we start with a book talking about the Torah, talking about the choice that we have. To follow God in his ways, or to follow our own ways, or follow somebody else's ways. There's the righteous and the wicked. Which one will we be? Will we seek God in his ways and seek after him and strive to be righteous in this life? Or will we seek after our own ways? We know what the answer is for that, and that's contained here in Psalm 1. So as we open up the Psalms, they are meant to be so much for us, but they are the words of life. And there is God speaking to us in this psalm, as he does throughout Scripture, in the Torah, in the prophets, in the Brit Chadashah. We saw verses and scriptures from all of those areas that tie right into Psalm 1 and to tie right into the choice that we have. Let us choose life and let us choose righteousness in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Because your word is life. Your word gives us life. Lord, we thank you for your instructions. We thank you for your Torah. We thank you for all of Scripture, which can be considered as Torah. May we choose. May we walk after life. May we come after you, Lord God, to learn from you, to grow in you. Yes, Lord, we're going to have problems in this world. Yes, we're going to stray at times. But Lord, bring us back to you, as we say in Judaism. And as we come to this Passover holiday, help us to remember how you miraculously delivered us, how you redeemed us, so that we can follow you, so that we can walk after you, and so that we can be righteous in your sight. We thank you, and we praise you, God, for this and for all of your words today. And it's in the mighty name of Yeshua that we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.